anticipated WASDE supply-demand report came out earlier today. How are the markets fully reacting? Well, good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joining us today with Global Commodity Analytics. So let's look at the WASDE and supply-demand report. What was your takeaway of all the numbers?
You know, my takeaway, Susan, was a couple big things. I think the first thing was it was a mostly neutral report for the grains and the soybeans overall. And it reinforced, I think, the world supply-demand dynamic versus the domestic and the futures price action. And what I mean by that is here we are at a brand new all-time record high in ending stocks for soybeans, over 125 million metric tons because USDA kicked up Brazil's crop to 180 million metric tons. That's going to be 8.5 million tons more than last year. And so we already know that the Brazilian farmer is slower in his sales heading into this report, more about 10% behind normal at about 40% sold on new crop beans. We've got the crop there, it seems like. There is some quality issues that are being talked about, but if you just look at the report by itself, you had a tightening of the ending stocks globally for wheat, a tightening for corn, and yet we had another big bump up in the soybeans. And yet here we are with the soybeans trying to lead the market higher and prevent the wheat and the corn from going lower. So there's still this major disconnect in the trade versus the world numbers. And obviously part of this has to do with the trade as far as President Trump's announcements and some of the new trade deals we got with India, one maybe coming with Indonesia, but it doesn't explain everything. And the second thing ties into that. Me personally, I was a little bit disappointed, and I think conditions remain very unresolved when it comes to the U.S. corn supply-demand fundamentals, because to me, the production number is way too high still. Either the harvested acres need to come down or the yield does, and I say that because Illinois, Nebraska, and Iowa are all at 97 to almost 98.5% harvested acres to planted acres, and the norm is about 92 to 93%. USDA didn't address that, even though I am hearing that they are doing an internal review of what they did in the January crop report.
So last night at the fire department during our meeting, a couple of the guys brought up some thoughts and questions for you, Mike. And one was, when you look at the WASDE report of today versus the outlook form of next week, which do you think is going to heavier weigh on the market trade?
Yeah, this is a great question because I think it really pinpoints the issue of being above $11 in new crop beans. That's not a problem, except that when you dial it into December corn, you're dancing on a bean corn ratio for new crop of 2.4 beans premium, 2.4 times beans premium to Dease corn, Susan. And so you're essentially buying bean acres right now. And USDA looks at that bean corn ratio very closely when they get into their February announcements and their updates. And so we got a baseline number update in December. Now we're going to get this new update in February. Then we're going to get fresh numbers from the actual outlook meetings the next day. But I'm very nervous that we're going to see the November beans go down because USDA is going to push a big bean number. And I think they should, because if you're at almost 99 million planted acres in corn this year, a lot of that I think has got to rotate into soybeans. And I'm talking to some guys right now that are starting to look at spare acres going into, you know, whether it's going to go corn or beans, they're going into corn at this point. And I think that's a key issue right now, going into beans at this point. I think that's a really key issue right now. So that's what concerns me most about that report.
And, you know, coming off of CattleCon, the number of guys I heard that said, oh, yeah, I still got old crop corn in the bin. I haven't decided what I'm going to do marketing wise. That kind of caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I'm at 45% sold on old crop corn in the cash market right now. I don't feel bad about that because, as I said, I think we're a lot tighter. And USDA did bump up the exports 100 million bushels on the WASDE report. So we are not rationing demand. They say we don't need to, but by the same token, it wouldn't take much to slip below the 2 billion bushel mark in terms of old crop ending stocks. And then if you get a lower 26 corn acreage number, the trade's going to look back and say, wow, it's going to be hard to keep a 2 billion bushel carryover. So I'm of the view that the cash corn market is really something to watch here. the next couple of weeks. The biggest problem with corn right now, Susan, is the wheat market. It continues to be the wheat and the crude oil. I feel like, you know, to use kind of a war term, the wheat just has its boot on the neck of the corn market, and it continues to do that as we get into the middle part of February here. So I'm looking for some wheat weather to jumpstart us. I just saw Ukraine's updated grain exports for the marketing year as of mid-February. They're still down almost 45% in what they've shipped out in corn and wheat and barley versus a year ago for the marketing year.
We'll switch gears a little bit here. What are your thoughts on this cattle market? It's doing a bit of selling on the rallies.
Yeah, it's been this way almost all of February, and it's been the feeder cattle that have done it. And that says to me, we're talking about screwworm, and we're talking about the issue with the calving weather. Calving weather has gotten a lot better. The forecast is very good for the rest of February, essentially. And more importantly, we've had screwworm in the news almost daily. And I think the funds are selling rallies as a result of that. The feeder fat spread is starting to curl down after getting up to about $1.30. We're now back into the 126, 127 range. That's a problematic area. We don't want to go below 125 right now. On the converse side of that, you've got a fat cattle market that has the support of the cash market, tight supplies, and you've got a Wall Street market that is making all-time record highs almost on a daily basis again. So you've got the fats really fighting the feeder sell-off. My bottom line point is to clients right now is if I would take out the weekly lows in March feeders, that would take out some pretty crucial technical levels. I'd jump over and get some short-term hedges probably in place on the fat cattle because that profitability, you know, you're looking at probably five and a half hundred ahead as far as what kind of profitability you're looking at, because this is the time that a lot of us were buying 240, 245 feeders.
Cash-wise, are we going to look till probably Friday before we see any movement?
Yeah, and I would think that we're probably hitting a top area around 240 if these feeders keep pressuring us on the futures market, because we'll probably start to see the CME feeder index start to curl down as well. But by the same token, with this tight supply we're dealing with, it would be hard for me throughout the rest of this winter to see a number that would go below 225. I think 225 is a pretty solid floor given the supply side here, but that doesn't mean you don't hedge futures just because of the way the funds like to play this market.
All right, breaking down what we see in the market trade today is Mike Zuzulo. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.